Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Well, welcome. I want to welcome Dan Fagan. We are doing another one of our Message Plus kind of podcasts that we choose to go a little bit deeper, talk a little bit more about life stories, in fact, with regard to the message. And the series we're in right now is called Invest. It's from consumers to investors, and that important process that calls for people to move into trusting Jesus and moving more into fuller maturity. So, Dan, thank you for being a part of this, and glad to have you.
Evan, thanks so much for having me. Great to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. Dan is the CEO of Tradition Bank, and he has a family with three boys, and is soon going to be going to Africa to establish some works there that will help people both economically and spiritually. So I love the fact that Jesus fed people, and he also gave them both their spiritual and their physical hunger. So that's a great thing you're going to be doing. So here's the first thing I want to ask you, and that is we recorded some giving spots at your bank, and thank you for allowing us to do that. Ooh. And yeah, as welcome. We did that, I noticed that you have a mission statement that's all about stewardship and health, heartfelt generosity. One phrase hit me, and it's to inspire others to join you and your team, in the joy of giving. And I didn't expect that when I was thinking of a bank, because I think banks something like, well, let us protect your money, or let us help you hoard your money, or something along that line. So What is that all about?
Wow, what is that? That's a big question, Kevin. I don't even know the best place to start with that, other than that God so loved me and got a hold of my heart in 2004 that really inspired me to say, you know, what does it look like to be a kingdom company and of all places in a financial institution? And, you know, being saved, being born again, being given the life in Christ to lead a company, to have an opportunity in a bank to show and demonstrate what that looks like. It led us in so many ways. And a lot of the things you shared there is really our keystone giving back component of our bank, and our goal is to give away 10% of our profits back into the communities because we believe it is just as the Lord has shared, better to give than to receive, and we're so blessed, and we want to be a blessing to others.
Well, I loved it. I loved reading about that. Let me ask you quickly this question, because to be able to be in a place where you say we as a business are going to give a portion of what we have earned back into the cause of Christ, or into areas where you can see people grow spiritually, is a wonderful thing. Personally, tell me a little bit about your own faith journey. I mean, I can't imagine you've always had this, or maybe you have always had this in your heart.
No, well, you know, the Lord's always been in us, right? And I think he woke me up, like I said, eventually in 2004. I grew up in Chicago. My family, my parents divorced, and we didn't have a lot there for a while, kind of scraping nickels. When I went to live with my dad and decided to go to college, Northern Illinois. I always loved kind of numbers. And I grew up going to church, but I wouldn't say that we were, you know, actively living our lives for the Lord. And so I was confirmed Lutheran. I knew of God, but I wasn't living my life for God. Went to college, was in a fraternity, you know, just living a college life like everybody does, but I wasn't going to church. If someone would have knocked on my door from you know, Campus Crusade or whatever, I probably would have said, thanks, and we'll see you later. Well, so my senior year of college, yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, so you're kind of in that place where, like, a lot of times college students are, but in your situation, just kind of living out your life, you probably weren't in that sense going, how can I invest money?
No.
And how can I invest in spiritual causes?
No, I'll tell you the opposite. It was more, I want to go get a job. How can I make money? I want to get married. I want to live the American dream. Mine was all about, I don't want to put my kids through what I was going through. So actually I was driven more materially than ever at that time to just say, that's it. I don't want this and I'm going to go get this figured out. Myself, rather than understanding the much bigger picture. So it was my senior year, had an opportunity to get a job with the FDIC. I needed grades to get that job. So they said, you can have the job, you need these grades. I remember going out to a cornfield. I was in DeKalb, Illinois, and I prayed and asked. I mean, at this time, I looked up in the sky, God, if you want me to get this job, help me to get these grades. But if you don't, I'll understand and I'll go do something else. Kevin, I got the job, but it wasn't where I got on my knees and thanked God. So I get this job as a bank examiner. So, and this is where, again, for me to see the whole picture, and I hope all your listeners understand how good God is and how much of a plan he has for all of us. And even though we may not be able to see it, you know, we're only going to see it in part. Someday we will see it in full. Sometimes in this life, we're able to see, looking back, how these influences are made. So I get a job as a bank examiner. I meet my wife on a bank exam, believe it or not, in Chicago.
Sure.
My wife's from Minnesota. Mid-90s, we moved to Minnesota. Again, I'm still, we are both believe of God, but we hadn't put our lives in Christ. And so going along, have some struggles here and there, you know, with our marriage, but I'm learning the banking business. I'm an examiner. Then I go to work for a local bank. And then in 2004, something significant happened. And that's when I went to kind of a Promise Keepers. And along the way, I was doing okay, right? I was working that American life, working, trying to save money, trying to invest, do all these things. And, but all this, always there was just this tugging at my heart, like, wow, what does it mean to be a Christian? And what, you know, what is that going to take? And I felt somewhat guilty for the things that I had, not guilty, but just like, wow, I should be, you know, instead of me building all this for myself, I should be doing something different. And so it was 2004, you know, and there's a lot more to the story. I know sure. I'm not going to go into that.
So you were typically what we're talking about here is that whole consumer path, whether you're investing, whatever, it's about me getting, how can I get more, secure myself, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking for that financial security. I was looking for that number. Believe me, I would write down on paper how much money I needed by 55 years old to have X. And I was so focused on that. But yet I felt this tug, God was tugging at my heart, like, just a tug that I wasn't sure. Well, I thought, here's the funny thing, talking about Zimbabwe, I thought to become a Christian, I didn't really know many Christians. They were kind of weirder people growing up where I was. I thought they were different. And let's say they were different and we are different, right? But I thought I had to sell everything, move to Africa and become a missionary. I thought that's what a Christian was. And I basically was like, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, I don't want to say the rich young ruler, but in my heart, I had a wrong perception of who God was.
Sure.
And it was a friend of mine and it was a Promise Keepers in 2004 that basically said, Dan, why do you think you need to give everything you have away and move to Africa and be a missionary? God just wants relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to give him his whole heart and then he's going to use you exactly where you are. He's going to use all the gifts and talents and everything he's given you to use for him. And I thought, and it was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, body of Christ made up of many parts. And I thought, I could be a Christian and I could be a banker and I don't have to. So literally, Kevin, that was my deal. And then the next morning, first time I wanted to go to church in my life, I didn't have to, I wanted to. And the sermon was on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God got a hold of me big time. Now, within a month of that, Kevin, I had been asked to help start up a bank. And I knew at that time that God had called me to do something much greater. And
Very clear calling then in that sense. I say often for people, they sometimes know about God and realize that he has some claims in their heart, are not ready to move into a relationship with him because they don't understand who he really is and how much he wants to love them. And they have that, I kind of say they have a conversion in the sense that they recognize I need to give my heart to him. But there's also a second, and I just mean this in the most light of terms. There's a second conversion often of, okay, God, not just my heart and my life, but actually even my finances, my time,
the course everything. Of my life.
Absolutely. And that's what in the last 17 years, you know, he has shown and continues to show. And when we really grasp what Christ did for us, that he died for us, he gave everything he had for us. And by the way, this is a loving God, an all-loving, all-powerful, fully sovereign God who only wants the best for us. And when we enter in, and so this was a lot of what I, you know, really am hanging on to say, you know, yes, I know the Bible has been inspired, fully written. Every word, every book is there for our good, to teach us, to train us, to equip us in his righteousness. And so I, you know, coming to looking at a company, I'm saying, if we're going to start a company, why would I want to do it on anything but the word of God and his principles and his practices and how he is? And so with that, you know, all this, and God, one of the gifts I do have is kind of that hospitality, generosity. My dad, who I believe is with the Lord, I know at his bedside, death bedside, had accepted Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. But he did have, you know, this generous part of him. He would have given you the shirt off his back kind of guy. And so sometimes, you know, we're all different. We are all, you know, given different gifts. I tried to make a few notes in my Bible on that. You know, we all have different gifts according to the grace. If it's prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's serving, let us serve. And teaching, let us teach. Encouraging, let us encourage. Contributing to the needs of others, let us give generously. Leadership, let them govern diligently. And one of those things, God, for whatever reason, I don't seem to have a problem in that giving component, because it's just one of those things that you're doing it out of a heart of, you know, first of all, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. When we put the right perspective, nothing in this world is ours, and everything we have has been given to us.
Yeah.
And so when we also realize how much we're not buying our way to heaven, we're not giving to get, that's the whole, you're missing the whole point. When we just enter into that relationship with God, or we're able to use his principles, and then we see kind of how, not only how others bless, Kevin, I can tell you, I am so much blessed just by knowing that, you know, the impacts, you know, that we're making are leading people to Christ. And that's what it's all about for me.
So as we close this up, wrap this up, some final thoughts. Someone might be listening and go, well, that's easy for you. You know, you're CEO of a bank, this or that. Obviously, if they're listening, your first steps were not in that position. We're going, I can't imagine it'd be easy. If someone's listening and they're going, yeah, I get the joy, I get the blessing, I haven't maybe experienced it. What would you want to just say to someone who's in that place where they've said, Jesus, you can have my heart, but you can't have my wallet, or something like that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just start with this over-grateful thanks, you know, when we realize what God has given us. And then I would say, if we try to just, you know, just, I don't want to say test him, you know, this is that whole Malachi, you know, test me in this and I'll open the whole storehouses for you. Like, just God is inviting us into this relationship with him. And I'll tell you that the giving on our bank, we have this 2010 goal in our organization to make a pre-tax 20% return and then give 10% of that profit away. And this was something that our board went. So our company, this isn't my bank. By the way, I invested a home equity. I only started with $70,000 and in my job. I came from nothing. And so this isn't my bank. And yes, it's owned by shareholders, but guess what? It's God's bank. And when we get the right perspective on that, I would say to anyone, and I, sorry, I jump all over the board.
No, this is fine.
We could go for an hour here, Kevin, really, because there's just so many things that I want your listeners to understand. But I had this person at my work say to me, you know, it's easy to yield. Same question you had, easy for you to give. You have all this money. And I say, you know what? No, actually, it's the opposite. You know, think of it this way. If I gave you freely $10 and said, I'm going to give you $10, but you got to give one of it to someone else, you'd be like, sure, give me $10. I'll take $9 give one away. I think if you start in those little tests, if you don't start early, it's going to be harder for you to give. I think it's the rich people that actually, not all rich people again, and worldly people. I would tell your listeners, you just have, man, I pray that you would just trust God. Just start with something small. And I would tell you that God is honored in it and that you will be blessed, you know, if you're doing it with the right heart and the right motivation. But really, when you I think we're going to get to heaven and, you know, it talks about these crowns and all this stuff. And I just think we're going to throw it right back at him when we realize how good and how loving and how faithful he has been in our lives. So I would just say, start with a little. And if you start with that little, it's going to become a habit. I teach my kids, all my kids, I say, boys, when you get something, the first 10%, give to God. It's your offering. It's our first fruits. It's the first thing we need to do is remember that everything we have comes from the Lord. And then the next 10%, I want you to save. Just set it aside for a rainy day. You never know what's going to happen. And the rest, live on. He's given it to you. Yep. Be blessed and go be a blessing to others. Now, Kevin, whether it's 10% or giving everything or whatever, I'm not a formula guy. This isn't a prosperity gospel. These are God's principles.
Great.
And so I would just tell your listeners, I would just encourage you, ask God, seek God, and he's going to show you the way, and he's going to show you how good he is. And I guess that's what I have to say.
Dan, thank you. Just so appreciate you sharing that, taking time in your busy schedule to do that. We pray God's blessing over your family and over the bank and God's ability to use that, and especially your trip coming up to Africa. May God use that in a great way. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and Kevin, thank you so much. It was great spending time with you, and God bless you and your church.
Thank you much.